E1, number 31A.
We come to spirit, and we have seen that spirit is that which diversifies, classifies, and individualizes, spirit that orders the whole structure of being, the whole hierarchy of being, so that we find in being order instead of just a undifferentiated whole. This is the great point of spirit that can do it. The spirit blows where it listens. It really does order everything. So from the... Oh, yes. You make the three arrows. And then we see from the point of view of truth, where you have always the whole, we can really see here the whole hierarchical order at work, the whole ideal. So you have perhaps here the hierarchical order, the ideal hierarchical order, or the ordering principle, you could also say. And as it is individualized, we really find the individual order or the individual place value. It appears as the appearing of individual place value. And what it really does when it is bringing really every idea to its true place, that love really shows how it expels chaos. Huh? How it expels, it's the expelling force of chaos. Yeah, I always feel when I come to spirit as the hierarchical order, somehow this seems to many students just theory or something they cannot figure out. You know, it's difficult to picture it for those who are not here and can't see the pictures, but you see what... say what the principle does, what spirit does, when it says it takes the one principle, for instance, takes the first, say, the first living cell on earth, just one. And how on earth can, say, the order of life bring forth that infinite variety of life of today? And all that just within that short time of 5 billion years. Well, it's because built into being must be a hierarchical order, which we were talking. So that perhaps out of this first cell came perhaps just three mutations, let's say, three great species, then each species begin to diversify itself. You have all sorts of fishes, and you begin and have all lot of fishes and perhaps animals, all sorts of animals and so on, all sorts of things here, and perhaps all sorts of people here, or nations and races or colors here. See? Then within those species you have infinite individualizations. You have another range of infinite individualization, each one. Can you see that the basis becomes broader and broader? You get the whole universe. Huh? Now, if in a hierarchical order, naturally, this would be the whole, this would be truth. Huh? Of what we have been saying, truth is the whole hierarchical order, which you have here. But we know that in a hierarchical order, we have individualization. That is, say, a communication must go right from the top to that specific point where the communication has to go to. Say, if we are, let's say, here, at this point here, I put it here in green, huh? Well, then you have really what life does. It individualizes. It goes right from the top here to this one here. From this one it has to go to this one, and from this one to this one. Huh? And every other communication with every other individual manifestation would go another way. You would have another way of life. If you want to come here, you would have to go from here first to here, and then to here, and then to here. Huh? And again a different way. Now this is only a very simple diagram of what we see, that spirit diversifies, classifies, individualizes. So that we can see, if we have to do with some kind of problem here on that whole basis, we must have, and have only one principle right on the top. There must be an intelligence at work which finds the right way to reach that specific point. That happens in a big organization, that happens in the genetic code, in the body, so that really the communication goes right from the genetic code, say, to the eye, and goes into the eye to the retina, and to does that and that specific in the retina. Another communication goes to the toe, and to, from the toe, say, to the toenail, and constructs a toenail. Goes always a different way. Well, this is hierarchical order, and that must exist in being, or we wouldn't have that sense that the whole can find its perfect manifestation in the infinite parts. We have the last one. We come back to our law. The last one, mind. And you make your arrows. We have mind, or the power of manifestation, the power of manifestation. If we take the whole of information and manifestation, we really come here to that whole information, where we see mind contains within itself all the informations possible. It's our data bank, our infinite data bank, where we know that mind knows all, that within mind all ideas are known. Within mind we find the infinite ideas well known. Mind knows them, sees them, understands them, perceives them, comprehends them, so that we have a full sense of information. And when it is individualized, when the power of manifestation takes that whole information and individualizes it, we come to our vision. We have individual vision. Specific ideas come to us. Specific ideas come to us. That life. And if specific ideas come to us, then we really have a sense of love that says, and these ideas are the solution to every illusion, and so we feel the solution is found. Love has found the solution through the specific idea. So this would be taking, so to say, the law of individualization, truth, life, love, and show how that impact works through the whole Christ order. And you see and feel that there is an enormous power at work. Always when you are at the Christ, you get the sense of terrific power. For instance, you read the prophets are all about the coming of the Christ, and one just feels verse by verse that there is a terrific power at work. The Lord will come down from the mount and will tread on the hills, and the hills will melt as wax before the fire. You just see that bulldozer just coming right down and smashing to pieces and to powder everything that stands in the way. So here we have that great power sense, but applied to individualization of the infinite. Truth individualized. And naturally it gives us that sense, because it's individualized, gives a sense that we are that individual expression of the Christ. That we are not getting it, that we are it. We are no more going to seek it and beg for it. We are no more going to find it and expect it. In science, ideas always are. Our consciousness is that power. And therefore you get more and more, if you go through this law, the sense that you are a power, a world power. And not just somebody trying to use divine power, but that we are power in expression, completely individualized, so that we can't say, I don't have anything. Somebody else has it, or Jesus Christ has it, or the dear God Almighty has it. It's individualized, and we are that power, and then comes love to it and tells to us, and you know, when you are that power, you are really a very helpful power, a blessing power, a saving power, a beatifying power. And you feel as if you would be a king that can just rule the world with blessings. Just like Micah said, don't you feel that you have a king in you, that you have a counselor in you? Is there no king in you? We always deny that. We always say, I would like to crawl on my tummy to the feet of the king and then beg him and look it up to him with nice eyes so that he melts and then he really begins to be kind to me. This is all old religion and sentiment. If we come into the realm of ideas, where there is no more people, no more matter, only ideas, then all these limitations fall, and you really get the feel of that Christ consciousness. Yes. Well, that would be really the law. You see, it is a law that, for instance, the Gospel of Mark was showing, or is showing. The Gospel of Mark is just built up that way, that he shows really that there is just one Christ, the Son of God, as he calls it, and therefore starts right in as the Son. The Christ is the Son. So he doesn't need first to have a father and a mother. So that Gospel doesn't tell anything about Jesus' mother and father. It just comes right, bang up from heaven. Here he is, first as John the Baptist prepares the way, and then the whole accent is on the Son, on Jesus. There is no genealogy of Jesus there, no father, no mother, but there is just everything right, coming right, starts right in, here he is, as if Mark would say, Well, Jesus fell right down from heaven, and here he is, and now he's going to do things. And then he shows really the same story of Jesus. No, not the same story of Jesus. He shows the Christ from the angle of the Christ translation and builds it in with stories about Jesus, but gives a completely different picture, because it presents that law, which is another law than Matthew. Yeah, but we won't take that. I tried enough that I showed you that with Matthew it is in the Bible, and that we are talking about things which we don't make up, but which are eternal laws fixed in being itself, and that consciously or unconsciously one was aware of these laws. Okay. Now we come to Christianity and the law of interdependence that exists in the vertical of Christianity. Somebody has asked me during the break, isn't there also a law of interdependence between divine science and absolute Christian science? Yes, naturally there is. We were only considering the law of interdependence between absolute Christian science and Christian science because this is more involved. The other one, the law of interdependence between divine science and absolute Christian science, is very simple. Here, for instance, in Christianity, you see that you have on the level of divine science love, which means the one love, the one great ego. We had there as a place value in the level book that God and man are coexistent, so that there is one big ego which includes all. And therefore you can see now the interdependence when you go down vertically to life and love, which actually I have also shown in the level book, that there we get the law of interdependence insofar that you see that the one love, the one ego, says now, I am father and mother. I am father and mother. You split up the one ego in its function of life and love, of father and mother. Yes, why? Huh? Really, why? Why should you do that? See, you can see it very easily and logically, because you only always have to keep the pedal note. It's all only a matter of thinking in categories. The pedal note says in absolute Christian science you must have an expression from principle to idea. In divine science you just have oneness. So in divine science, if you just have the one love or the one ego, there is no expression of that one ego. So in order to have an expression, you must have a father and a mother. At the point of Christianity, at the point of bringing forth the creation, you must have a father and mother. So the one love translates itself and says, I'm the one love, and in order to bring forth the creation, the moment you say that, you touch absolute Christian science. You see, bringing forth the creation, the relationship of creator to creation. At that very moment, therefore, you must have the sense of the father life and the mother love. So that love demands suddenly the impulsion of life. And so you have life and love, which is then our father-mother. Huh? Our father-mother. What hour? What is that hour? Father, mother. The hour is the idea, huh? The compound idea. And we have seen in life and love, you remember, that life and love is that law of eternalization of what? Of the compound idea. Remember? When we went through Christianity, huh? In absolute Christian Science, that we said there is life and love, but no truth, because that dividing line, so to say, is depicting the compound idea, which is sustained by life and protected by love. So our Father, Mother, God really means here that the compound idea is fathered by life and mothered by love. That's why you can understand what Jesus meant when he said, he who is within me or in me is greater than I. Or he that works in me is greater than I. The ego, the one ego in divine science, expressing itself as the ego, father, mother, is greater than I. Is greater than the idea. And therefore it is he who works in me is greater than I. Life, truth, life and love in absolute Christian Science is greater than the compound idea. Or you may remember how Mrs. Eddy depicts it in it's way back in the textbook, in the chapter on Apocalypse, where she somehow speaks of the one Father with his universal family held in the gospel of love. See, one Father, life, held in the gospel of love, the mother love. But what is held is the universal family, the compound idea. So life and love in absolute Christian Science are those two arms of the parent ego of father and mother who uphold really or eternalize really the realm of ideas, the compound idea. And that which defines to us the compound idea, we have seen, was really the Christianity order. You remember when we went through the Christianity order, we said the whole question which we ask there is how great, how big is the idea? And we're just contemplating how we can comprehend and contemplate the bigness of an idea through principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth and love. Therefore, if we consider all these three, we have one great law of interdependence, right from divine science, where there is the source of Christianity, one love, one ego, one realm, one fulfilled realm, and that within that one matrix of that one love, there is constantly life and love going on and saying, I want to express myself, I want to be father, mothered by love. What is it that is fathered and mothered by love? The divine compound idea, namely that idea which is being defined through the Christianity order. So all what we were doing is to go vertically through the Christianity sense and come therefore to that great realization that if we start with Christianity as the one love in divine science, the one ego, that this has one great purpose, namely to project out of that one great ego through life and love the compound idea. The compound idea through the Christianity order shows the bigness of the idea and therefore the nothingness of a mortal, of the mortal ego. In this way, the mortal ego is really resolved. There's no more room there. Yeah. All right. So, the great interdependence is really between Absolute Christian Science and Christian Science as the law of. So we write here, it's Christianity in Absolute Christian Science and Christian Science. Yeah. How could we state that law in terms? We know that life fundamentally provides, that love preserves. What does it provide? What does it preserve? The compound idea or the full idea? So we could state in words, in English words, and could say that law states that life provides and love preserves the full idea of principle to love, huh? The full idea of the Christianity order. That's really the compound idea. So that life provides and love preserves the compound idea. And that compound idea is being defined through the Christianity order.